Amen. All right. I was introducing myself to some folks, and I say, yeah, I'm Jerry Sousley, and they're like, oh, it's nice to meet you. And I say, well, I'm Layla's dad. And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know you. Yeah, okay, yeah, we love Layla. And so I'll just introduce myself as Layla's dad. And then but giving me a little bit of an inferiority complex there. But it's good to be here. I've already met some of the folks that work on staff, whether it be the church or the college. And I just want to say thank you for investing not only in all these young people's lives, but particularly my daughter. And, of course, I'm a little partial to her. And you know, it's a comforting to me to know, we have to be careful these days what we do with our young people. You know, we think they get 18, 19 years old, and we just kind of turn them out. But we need to be careful about that. And it's just comforting for me to know that there's a like-minded bunch of folks that, you know, believe right. You got a good pastor, good staff, and the folks that are working with Layla. I've seen a big change in her just over the last year and a half since she's been coming. And I appreciate you investing in her and all these young people. So keep it up. Keep it up. I love to see young people on fire for Jesus. There's nothing that excites me more than that, except for me getting excited for Jesus, of course. And but we have appreciated her, and we're going to be heading back tomorrow. The only thing is, there's this dude that keeps showing up, and you know, he's even showed up at my house a couple of times now. And I've enjoyed Brother Israel. He actually got to come down and to help with VBS, whatever. But we did put him to work, and he did a great job. He really did. The kids loved him, and Mr. Wobbly Boots. We had a Western theme for VBS, and so Mr. Wobbly Boots. Kids loved him. They still ask about Mr. Wobbly Boots, and I said, well, he's going to be with us next weekend. I liked working with him. You know, you find out a lot of things about people when you work with them in the ministry. You know, some good deep things. And one of the things that really stood out to me about Brother Israel is that if you scare him, he screams like a girl. Is that right? Does anybody know that? Does anybody else? So it's a common, okay, yeah, it's a common thing. Yeah, he screams like a girl. So we you know, I kind of think of myself as a manly man. So, you know, we might have to work on that, brother. Might have to work on that. All right, that's enough fun. I love young people, but I love tormenting them as well and embarrassing them. But if you have your Bibles, I hope that you do, turn to the Psalm number 100, the book of Psalms. And I know every preacher's different, but my custom is to stand for the reading of the Word of God. So if you're physically able, I would appreciate that. Psalm number 100, we're going to read the whole Psalm, but it's only five verses, so it won't take too long. And I've been teaching through the book of Proverbs at our home church, Central Calvary Baptist Church in West Plains. And so I'm taking a break from that tonight, and I'm going to be looking at Psalm. The sound man asked me the title of the message. I hadn't really thought about it, and I titled it there in the last two or three seconds, The Attributes of Thanksgiving, The Attributes of Thanksgiving. And so Psalm number 100, let's read the text, and then we'll get into this. The Bible says, make a joyful noise. When I say the Bible says, I'm saying that God says. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and amen to that. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the preaching of the Word of God tonight. And again, Lord, it's just good to be here and thankful to be here. I'm humbled that Brother Hanks would ask me to stand in his pulpit. Lord, I don't take that lightly. And Lord, I thank you for that. And just looking forward to what you have in store for us, Lord. I know we got a lot going on with the holiday and Thanksgiving, and I'm sure there's things that are going on and traveling to be done, but Lord, may we just take that and just kind of put that off to the side for just a little while so we might be able to focus in on what you'd have us to hear. Father, I believe in divine appointments. I believe you put this together for a purpose, And Lord, I believe you not only want to speak to my heart, but you want to speak to every heart that's here tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. All right, you can go ahead and be seated. So the attributes of Thanksgiving, I love Thanksgiving. I suppose when I was younger, particularly when I was a child, because of the present thing, I always loved Christmas. And even as I got a little older and we started having children, and it was always fun to watch children open their presents. Now we got grandkids that open presents. But I would say over the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, I enjoy Thanksgiving the most. And I'll just kind of be honest with you here. By the time Christmas rolls around, I'm pretty wore out with the whole holiday thing. I'm ready to move on, amen, and get back to things being normal. But I love Thanksgiving. And a lot of it just has to do because I believe it, to me, it's more family-oriented. I just love it. I love the time together. And I like the eating and all those types of things as well. When we think about Thanksgiving, certainly it's a time to be thankful for the blessings of family. I do thank the Lord for my family. I was sharing with Brother Hanks and also Brother, the organ player. What was your name, Brother? I forgot. Larson, Brother Larson. And I was concerned there because Mrs. Larson was way over here and he was way over here, but then I've seen the reason. We were talking about how I got saved later in life. I was 31 years old before I got saved. God has certainly been good to me since. But I know how family was before then, and I know how family is now. And it's a lot better. And so I thank the Lord for that. So Thanksgiving, certainly when I focus in on that, I certainly want to thank the Lord for that. But for the Christian, though, we really shouldn't just be thankful one day a year. And we shouldn't just be thankful just for our family either. You know, there's a lot of things that we could be thankful for. And I believe the Bible shows, as we made mention there, that it says there in verse 1, God says, you know, if you feel like it, you know, if things are going right, you know, make a joyful noise. No, God just simply says, make a joyful noise. He goes on to say, and serve the Lord. Not only just serve the Lord, but serve the Lord with gladness. And so we need to be thankful because I believe God commands it. And our text begins by God telling us really to make a joyful noise. In other words, to be thankful is how I'm seeing this tonight. And so we think about Thanksgiving, a Christian's view of Thanksgiving certainly should be different from the world's view of Thanksgiving, I would hope. Now, don't get me wrong, I like the festivities and of Thanksgiving. And this morning before I left out, I was going through the closet and dragging all the decorations and stuff out and those types of things. My wife was getting ready for that. I enjoy all those types of things. But I think for tonight, what God would remind us to do is that Christians, it ought to be a reminder of how thankful we should be for the Lord. I'm thankful for his blessings, but what I'm saying, listen, I'm saying just be thankful for the Lord. Amen? You know, and I think sometimes we forget that. I love thanking God. I believe the Bible commands us that we ought to thank him. Count your blessings, name them one by one. But what I want you to understand, are we just thankful for the Lord tonight? And I believe that we all are. And yet we also need to be reminded that of all that God does do for us. And so what's the greatest thing God has ever done for us? He saved us from hell. You know, our salvation. You know, it wasn't too long ago. I mean, 20 years isn't that long. It's been a little over 20 years since I've been saved. We ought to thank the Lord for our salvation tonight. And God would also have us know tonight that true thanksgiving, and here's where I wanted to get, true thanksgiving, you know where it has to begin? It has to begin in your heart. You see, that's where God likes to work from, amen? You know, the world wants to try to influence you with outside things, but God wants to influence you from the inside. And so he always deals with the heart, and we could say the soul as well. But again, we're just going to say the heart, and we ought to be thankful for that. But I think that true thanksgiving has to begin in our hearts. And let me just say this, it's going to be real difficult to be thankful for the Lord if our hearts aren't fully turned towards him. You know, some people, yeah, I love the Lord, but are you serving the Lord? Yeah, I love the Lord, but do you really love the Lord? You know, there's a difference. And so if our hearts aren't turned towards him, it's going to be hard to be thankful in the right way that we should be. It's hard to be thankful if our hearts are maybe filled with some bitterness tonight. Maybe your hearts are even filled with some hatred or some type of fear. It's hard to be thankful if there's unconfessed sin in our life as well. So I want you to understand, if our hearts are not fully turned towards Him, it's going to be hard to be thankful to the Lord tonight. And any one of us could be dealing with something like that at any time. So if we're really going to grasp what Thanksgiving is all about, we have to start with our heart. And I believe this is what God would really start focusing in on. I brought your attention to verse 5 a while ago. For the Lord is good. And God has been good to us. God is good to us. And God will be good to us. And God certainly is good. You know, I was thinking on the drive up here that, even the vilest of sinners, the enemies of God even, God's been good to. You know, He gives them homes, He gives them families, jobs, He keeps them from sickness and who knows what else. And, you know, the list could go on. And really, He's given every human being the opportunity to know Him. You know, certainly He has. When I think of Romans chapter 1, I believe that makes it clear. He's given everyone the opportunity to seek His truth, to seek His mercy, His grace. So again, God certainly has been good to mankind. And He is a good God. But tonight we're looking at the attributes of thanksgiving. And in our message, I'm hoping that we'll see here in Psalm 100 how true thanksgiving really is seen in our attitude. Do you ever get an attitude? You know, I'm talking about the bad way. You know, I'm not very hip these days, but I know used to, they'd say somebody copped an attitude. You ever cop an attitude? Yeah, you do too. You know you do. All right. So we all have attitude. Sometimes we have an attitude problem, don't we? And sometimes, we might hide it a little bit, but we all struggle with our attitude. But I want us to be thinking about our attitude tonight. I want us to be thinking about our service towards God, because I don't believe we can be properly thankful without having right relationship, or probably fellowship would be good to throw in there. In other words, being thankful, our service, our devotion to God, listen, all that goes hand in hand. And so I'm just trying to set the table here to challenge you a little bit to look at your relationship with God, maybe even to examine yourself as Paul encourages us to do when we say that we're thankful. Again, looking at the heart. And I want us to look at the three attributes. Ben's how that's the title we come up with, the three attributes of thanksgiving. And what I simply mean by that is just some distinct marks that should be found in every Christian who is truly thankful. I think we'd all want to leave here tonight saying that I truly am thankful. And so I want to try to help you with that. And more than that, I believe God wants to help us with that. So attribute number one would just simply be a thankful heart. You know, what you're thankful for tonight reveals what's in your heart. Think about that. Really, what you're thankful for tonight reveals what's in your heart. That could be good, that could be bad. I suppose that could be spiritual, it could be carnal. But whatever you're thankful for tonight, that's really what's in your heart tonight. You know, I love being around thankful people. You know, I love that. I've noticed over the years that thankful people, they're a pleasure to be around. You know, there's some people that I hesitate to ask them how they're doing. You know, it's just like, I'm not even going to ask. But thankful people are a pleasure to be around. They're comforting. And usually they also have words of wisdom and they're encouraging. But people who are not thankful, they're sometimes unhappy. Remember, I talked about attitude. You know, sometimes they're unhappy. Sometimes they're grumpy. Sometimes they're thinking the worst. And they tend to say things, either, you know, they may not mean to, but they tend to say things that hurt and discourage us. You know, we've probably all been around folks like that, and maybe we're sometimes like that ourselves. So again, we begin to see this attitude. We see a connection of thanksgiving in the heart. And there's three things that God looks for in the heart, I believe, that we see in our scripture. In other words, attribute number one is a thankful heart, but I want to give you three things that I believe should be in our heart if we truly want to have a thankful heart tonight. And so first, you have to have joy. Joy in your heart. Look at verse 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. So encouraging to hear the congregation singing out. You know, I spent a couple of years traveling, you know, all across the country preaching and trying to help some churches and stuff like that. And And just let me say, it was a joy to hear people singing out. Keep it up. That's such a blessing. So we see some things there, though, that I want to talk about this joy. We notice some phrases, joyful noise. By the way, that joyful noise isn't talking about singing. That's talked about in verse 2. But really, joyful noise is really about speaking words. That's what that's talking about. If you do a word study, it actually means to cry out, get this, in a loud manner. That's what he's saying there. He said, make a joyful noise, cry out in a loud manner. And we see that word gladness in verse 2, and we see there the word glee, you know, the word gladness there. Again, another word study that talks about being in glee. In other words, you're happy, a spirit of glee. And when I think about somebody, you've seen somebody that's in the spirit of glee, right? Now we're talking about your countenance. Christians ought to smile, amen? Hey, don't you just love being around people that have the joy of the Lord not only in their heart but on their face? Amen. Hey, I think we ought to work at that sometimes. Now, I'm kind of, my wife, she, you know, pastors' wives, they're brutal sometimes, I tell you. And she critiques me, and I'm glad, and she gets on to me sometimes because I've been told I kind of have a stern face. And she'll say, you look like you're mad. And I'm like, well, I'm not mad. I love Jesus. I'm not mad. Amen. But she says, yeah, but you just look mad. And I said, well, I can't help it. That's just my face. But we ought to have a smile on our face, amen? In other words, hey, you know what I'm talking about. You know when somebody's on fire for God. You know when somebody is being blessed by God. There is that spirit of glee on them. And I love that because it's contagious. And so again, these are things that God wants to see in our heart. And of course, we did notice the singing. That talks about singing triumphantly. And again, once again, loudly. So the joy spoken of here in our text really only comes one way. When God says make a joyful noise, he says it's really only coming one way, and it's not a quiet thing. It's heard and it's seen. And I thank the Lord for that. So when the joy of the Lord, as we see here in our text, is present in the heart of a human being, they make joyful noises and they say amen and they say praise the Lord and they say hallelujah. Go ahead, say it. Make a joyful noise for the preacher tonight. Amen. Yeah. So they're glad. And you can tell they're glad because you see it on their face and in their eyes. And as you guys had a wonderful example tonight, you sing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, God wants to see that in your heart tonight. And we ought to be thankful for it. We ought to be thankful for it. And so again, we see some other things there. Let me just say this. I want to challenge you and look at the negative side of this, I guess, if you want to call it. Because really the conclusion of all this really adds up to one thing. In other words, if you're not somebody that makes joyful noise, and if you're not somebody that shows gladness, if you don't want to sing, hey, listen, then you must not have the joy of the Lord in your heart tonight. You can't have it both ways, you see. So again, I just want to encourage you. I'm not here to try to hurt you. I just want to encourage you. So how about tonight? Are you thankful? And if you are, it'll be in your heart. And if it's in your heart, it's going to show, shine, shout, and sing. Amen? I believe that because that's what God teaches us. This is what's seen in the heart that has joy in it. Do you have joy in your heart? Secondly, we must have service in your heart. Verse 2, serve the Lord. Not just serve the Lord, but do it with gladness. You know, sometimes we serve the Lord, we got a little bit of chip on our shoulder about it, don't we? By the way, you don't get credit for that. And God knows your heart, amen? So we need to serve the Lord with gladness, serving faithfully. I love people that really want to serve the Lord and to serve the Lord with gladness. You know, people that serve the Lord with gladness, nothing keeps them from it. You ever notice that? Not time. It doesn't matter about work, it doesn't even matter about family, money, weather, sleep, just throw whatever you want in there. Hey, listen, those that serve the Lord gladly, hey, they serve the Lord. You know, when I think about service of the Lord, do you realize that when you serve the Lord, you're actually praising the Lord? God laid this on my heart a few weeks ago, that really our service is praise. So anytime we're serving the Lord, we need to do it in a way that's worthy of praise. Yeah, amen. Remember attitude. Amen. Attitude, right? Remember heart. So God's working on the heart. So speaking of praise, we'll move along here. I don't see a clock in here, and I don't have a clock on me, so I guess we'll just roll with this. Amen. And so speaking of praise, it's the third thing found in a thankful heart. First, you have joy. Next, you have service. Thirdly, you must have praise in your heart if you're to have joy. Now, you say, wait a minute, preacher. You just talked about joy. I think you got things backwards. Shouldn't I have joy, and then I will have praise? I mean, that makes sense. In other words, I feel good, and if I feel good, that's going to come out, right? But I don't really believe that's what we see particularly in the Bible. Let me just kind of explain it to you, just kind of on a simple, you know, country boy way. Let me ask you this. Some teach their children when they start to talk, 2-3 years old, some will teach their children to say yes, sir, and no, sir. And I like that. I believe that's what we should do. And so we'll teach them to say yes, sir, and no, sir. I believe that teaches respect. But a little 2-year-old, maybe even a 3-year-old, probably couldn't define what respect is, right? You know, they really wouldn't know what respect is. What I'm trying to get you to understand, they're not taught to first have respect and then say yes, sir, no, sir. They're taught to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and as time goes by, they'll learn what respect is. I want you to understand something, that praising the Lord is the very same way. Listen, are you down tonight? You may very well be down. You know, a lot of people struggle during the holiday season. And there could very well be some folks in here tonight that the holiday season isn't a time of joy for you. It reminds you of things that you didn't have or used to have, or maybe you're just going through a hurt. Maybe you lost somebody this time of season. The list could go on, but I want you to understand something, that if you're down tonight, if you have no joy in your heart, then begin to praise the Lord. And your praise will meet the joy. Amen? So amen. Joy meeting your praise. Attribute number one concerning true thanksgiving is having a thankful heart. So do you have praise in your heart tonight? I hope that you do. Attribute number two, so we better get on here. Obedience. Look at verse 3. Obedience. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We belong to the Lord. Amen. And only those who are sold out to the will of God, let me just say this, just plainly, they're really the only ones that understand true thankfulness. And I'll explain. You know, obedience. You know, I say this to folks a lot, that you know what faith really is? It's faithfulness. Think about this. Faith is really faithfulness. You know, I see people all the time that, you know, I just have faith. I just have faith. But they don't have faith enough to follow God in some of the smallest of matters. Faith is faithfulness. Faithfulness is doing what God says. This is obedience. And, of course, I think of sanctification. I'm sure your pastor has explained this to you over the years. And we're talking about separation from the world and the flesh unto the Lord. You know, it's not being indwelled by the Holy Spirit. That happens when we're saved. We call that justification, saved from the penalty of sin. Sanctification is being saved from the power, the influence of sin. That's a process. But again, it's being Holy Spirit filled, Holy Spirit led. And as truly thankful Christians, listen, if we understand that, we're not going to imitate the world tonight. Only unthankful Christians want to imitate the world and draw a lead from the world. Hey, as believers, we need to be careful what we listen to and what we watch. You know, especially young people, but all of us need to understand that, you know, we need to be careful with our ear gate and our eye gate. They go directly to the heart. We need to be really careful with that. Hey, listen, we need to be thankful that we belong to God. And if we belong to God, we need to be doing what he says. We need to be careful what we say, what we do, because it is he, as verse 3 says, it is he that hath made us. You know, there is a sickness that's going across throughout independent fundamental Baptist churches. And just to sum it up quickly, we're losing our identity as blood-bought, born-again believers. And there's been a lot of de-emphasizing of some things over the years that is hurting us. But losing our identity as blood-bought, born-again believers, I believe it really just begins with losing our thankfulness for that, what we might call the good old time religion. You know, I tell people all the time, I don't like the good old time religion because it's old. I like the old time religion because it's right.
Amen. That's right.
This is not the age, it's right.
Amen.
And we're losing our identity. You know, again, singing these old hymns. Hey, a lot of people have lost their thankfulness for the good hymns and the spiritual songs and traded in for the world's brand and style of music. Listen, we quit being thankful for what God's given us. When you stop being thankful for what God's given us, the next step is to get away from what God has given us. Some have lost their thankfulness for good old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone preaching. Oh, we need preaching more than anything today. Man, the song says it was good for our fathers and our mothers. It ought to be good enough for us today. Amen. I tell you, some young people tragically have traded in their thankfulness of purity. Hey, listen, young people, be thankful for your purity. Save yourself for a holy matrimony. Hallelujah to that. And those who are truly thankful, again, they're obedient to the word. You know, again, we're losing our thankfulness for the good old King James Bible. We're losing our thankfulness. You know, I love the Bible, amen. I love this blessed book. I hope you're in love with your Bible tonight. It shows me how to be obedient. The Bible shows me how to be separated. The Bible shows me what I ought to do. The Bible shows me what I ought not do, amen. And we need that. We need those oughts and those ought nots. We need to understand them. God knows more about how to live your life than you ever will. And I'm thankful that God tells me what he allows in my life and what he doesn't allow in my life. So attribute number one of thanksgiving is having a thankful heart full of what? Joy, service, and praise. Attribute number two of thanksgiving is obedience. Being thankful for your identity. Remember, it is he that hath made us. And then finally, number three, attribute number three, worship. Theologians teach us and I believe they're correct. I don't believe everything a theologian says, but I believe theologians teach us, I think they got this one right, that from Psalm 94, I believe it is, Psalm 94 to Psalm 100 form a series of psalms that really tell us about the millennial reign of Christ. And, you know, the earth, by the time the millennial time comes around, will have passed through that tribulation period, the tribulation period, the great tribulation period, a total of 7 years. And really what Psalm 100 is about is looking forward to that. It's kind of like a doxology hymn, a hallelujah chorus, a praise of worship. So that's kind of the context of what we see here. You know, just think about that day. We've been through a lot over the last, really, 20 years as far as presidential elections and, you know, just, you know, a lot of us aren't liking what we're seeing and the corruption and, you know, so on and so on. I'll get way off track here if I'm not careful. But just think that one of these days, listen very carefully, one of these days, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one that they nailed to a cross and hung between heaven and earth, that Jesus, the one that rose from the grave, that Jesus, that one that ascended back to the right hand of God, that Jesus, hey listen, that Jesus literally, bodily, will be sitting on a literal throne on this very earth, and he will be president of the world. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. Amen. There'll be none of this, there'll be no nonsense. Amen. And the Bible says he'll rule with a rod of iron, I think is what it says. But that's not my message. But I'm excited about that. But I was thinking about this. Think of as I think about this hallelujah chorus, think of the millions of redeemed souls that'll be there worshiping our Lord. The enemies of Christ. Again, attribute number three, we're talking about worship. The enemies of Christ and his church will be subdued. And what a time of sweet worship that'll be. And I want to talk to you about what worship is here in just a moment. But there will be million displays of gratitude for what Christ has done for them. And by the way, we ought to show that gratitude today for what Christ has done for us, that he saved us from a devil's hell. When I think about worship, unfortunately, with the contemporary garbage that's out there, they've kind of hijacked that word worship, and I don't like that. Because really, worship is really, and I love good music, but really, worship is more than music. Really, worship is even more than outward expression. Again, we're talking about the heart. Praise, I don't see how praise could be anything but outward. But worship really, just a simple definition of worship is how we esteem God in our hearts. I asked you at the beginning of this message, are you thankful for God? If God was to take everything you have away and everybody you have away, would you still be thankful for God tonight? Now we're talking about worship. Now we're talking, worship is all about God.
Amen.
It's how we esteem God where? In our heart. And certainly when we esteem God in our heart, it's going to come, you know, things will happen. I believe that praise will come out of that. So I'm not talking about not showing that. And when I think about those millions around that throne, I just envision that, and it excites me to think about that. So I come back to this question, are you truly thankful tonight? Do you truly worship the Lord? The Lord. I'm just going to be honest with you. I could do better. He certainly deserves better. So again, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you. Listen, true worship tonight, I don't know what you're going through, but true worship's not based on the circumstance that you're in tonight. True worship has nothing to do with what you're going through tonight. True worship has everything 100% to do with God. And listen, God has been good to you.
Amen.
Amen. Much better than any of us deserve. Much better than any of us deserve. So are you truly thankful tonight? Do you truly worship the Lord? True worship completely focuses on Jesus Christ for who and what he is. Are you thankful for him? Not necessarily for what he does, but just thankful for him. You know, we sing that song, I can't remember how it goes, and you don't want me to sing, but Christ is all I need. You guys ever sing that song? Christ is all I need. Do we really mean that, though, when we sing it? I mean, that's a deep, deep question, isn't it? Is Christ really all I need? He should be. I can't answer that with a good yes myself. I just know that he should be. I know that he should be, and I want him to be. Are you thankful for him? Now, the most important time of tonight is right now. And it's a time of invitation. In other words, it's time for us to respond to what we've heard. And I'm not sure how you do invitations, but I'm going to ask our pianist if they would come, she or he, whoever that may be. And again, I don't want you to do anything that your pastor doesn't normally do, but if you want to begin to play softly, that's fine. I'm going to ask the rest of you to stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed.